Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to episode number 68 with the Top Advisor Marketing Podcasts. Today, Kirk and I are going to dive into the business model for elite advisors. Now, between us, we have been doing this for, I would say, at least a dog's age, if not maybe a turtle's age. And Kirk is going to walk through, what did you say, six different models that don't work. Is that right?
That's correct.
And then we're going to focus on the one business model, the business model that we have found over time that consistently works for elite advisors. Okay, Kirk, let's go ahead and dive in, man.
Well, really, over the last 20 years I've been working in this financial services industry, 18 of which have been, you know, with this company, with my own or our consulting firm here, Top Advisor Marketing. I keep noticing these trends, and I talk about it a lot in meetings, but I've never talked about this live. I've never put this business model, I guess, experience, expertise, wisdom, whatever you want to call it, out into the world. So we're going to do that today. We're going to have some fun with it.
Awesome.
So I've created a whiteboard here in my office, and everybody knows. If you don't, I have a massive whiteboard, and I love this thing. 4x8. It's monstrous, and I love it. It's one of my best friends.
Hey, you know what? We should.
I'm getting too personal now, aren't I?
No, that's all right. We should add this. Can we add this image to the podcast?
No.
Really? Come on.
Nobody would ever be able to read my writing.
Oh, but it's...
I write so fast when I'm putting ideas out. I only know the shape of a word. So yeah, let's jump in. So going to talk about three categories.
Okay.
I have six different business models within those three categories, but these are models that don't work.
Okay.
And there's going to be a whole bunch of advisors hating me after this, but I think this is going to be really good medicine. I don't know, medicine's probably not the right word, because I'm not going to help you cure anything. I'm just going to potentially diagnose why things aren't going as well for you as they probably could and hopefully will. So there's three. The first category is too many clients. And I see this, have seen this, see it all the time with advisors. There's three different business models within the too many clients that I find don't work. And there's some similarities, but they're all unique in some way, shape, or form. The first one is the volume model. So let's just get as many people in the door. I love, you know, this is the advisor. I love helping people. I've got juniors on here, or my son or my daughter works for the company. I've got juniors. I can get, let's just bring this thing in. Whoever needs help, I'm not saying no. I just can't say no to people. They all need me. Let's run this thing. It is really, really difficult. And everybody knows that it's increasingly difficult to make money with a volume model. And you're typically, you know, being everything to everyone, which makes it even more difficult. Even if you were specialized working in volume, it's still very difficult. There are still insurance people out there who do this model, right?
Sure.
And I have friends that do it. I've worked with other advisors. It's a tough business, and it's going to get tougher with that model. Number two is the junior advisor model. There's a scenario, if you will, I've shared on our podcast a number of times about this guy who came to me and said, I'm getting 10 referrals a month. And I was like, wow, spectacular. I said, so tell me about those 10 referrals. And 9 of them were going to the junior. And one of them was going to him, and he said, I think it was like less than 50% of them were even ideal for him, but they were in the ballpark of him, what he would do. And I said, well, what's wrong with your business? Why are we talking? He said, well, it feels like I'm spending all my time teaching the junior how to build value in his practice for people who aren't profitable. So I'm not spending any time. So you can just imagine how that goes. And I see that. I know that model exists for too many advisors out there right now. And I'm going to give you some ideas on how to turn that kind of a practice around. How a practice is built, processes, protocols, and the business model is not my specialty. I've just experienced it so much. I'm just sharing with you what I see that works and why I think it works. And you can decide whether or not you think I know what I'm talking about on your own. You're welcome to share that with me too, if you want to. So that junior advice model is, you know, it's tough because advisors spend too much time trying to teach juniors how to do stuff with people who they're not making money off of. Why not? Anyway, I'm not going to give you any clues here. I'm going to wait till we get to what does work. Any thoughts on those first two, Matt?
Well, I've seen both of those. They're huge. And the associate wealth advisor, the junior model, is one of those ones that you know, we used to teach from a practice management standpoint all the time. But the biggest problem that we would have is the advisor would put in all of this time to train the person, hand off a whole bunch of clients to them, and then the junior would leave.
Yeah, there's that too.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about this.
That's a huge part of having a better business model is being really dialed into who you're going to serve, why you're going to serve them, and why and how, and then figure out how to create it so that nobody else can compete with you.
Sure.
And I'm going to share some thoughts on that too. So three or more types is not being focused enough mm-hmm. in your business model. So another one for too many client types as a business model. It's kind of stretching it as far as like a business model, but bear with me, is too wide of a niche. So saying that you just work with women, for instance, I mean, women, there's all ages, lifestyles.
Yeah. It's 51% of the population.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's very difficult for somebody to create a wide niche market and then be able to connect with those people. So you got to go more specialized and or more targeted, if you will. And so when you're building your practice, you need to think about these things as they have to become part of your business model. This is how we're going to structure our people, and this is how we're going to structure our people to meet these people, like to work with these kinds of people or to attract these kinds of people. So what I'm trying to say is your business model just isn't if you have a junior or not, or if you have multiple advisors, which we're going to get into or not. It's how what your practice does and who you do it for is part of your business model. Make sense?
Sure does.
So the third category, and there's only one business model here that I've experienced anyway, which is too many advisors in your practice. So I know a lot of advisors over the years who I've helped build a brand. And one of the reasons that they wanted Top Advisor Marketing to build a brand in the marketing for them is because they wanted to attract other advisors to the practice. Like, hey, you know, if I get an override of another advisor and they can use my office, they can use my marketing, that makes a lot of sense, right? And, you know, maybe we can have, then, you know, some companies have an employee benefits division. Some people have a group retirement planning division, and they have a personal financial planning division. I've worked with all kinds of different companies. In my mind, in my experience, the organizations with multi-advisor practices are successful only to the point that they have ambitious advisors who I think probably have some level of competition with other advisors, and that drives them to be more successful. And maybe their practices are a little bit lighter because they're sharing resources. So their expenses are a little bit lighter and they don't have to worry about some of the stuff that a multi-advisor practice might provide them. So there's some good there, but I find from a client perspective, it's confusing when you have multiple advisors competing, doing the same thing in an office. And when you start managing the personalities, the brand experience, all that kind of stuff, I think it becomes really cumbersome when everybody has their own little agendas, if you will, and ways they do business underneath your umbrella. And I've found people who are successful because they were independently successful. I've never seen a group of advisors be collectively more successful. That makes sense?
Well, it does. And just my two cents on that is most financial services professionals are terrible managers. They didn't get into this to manage people. And you're absolutely right. We can't have a consistent brand message, a consistent client experience, especially if you're providing any of those advisors with any level of independence whatsoever, because if they wanted to have something that was a little bit more regimented, they probably wouldn't have joined you as an independent firm. They probably would have joined a large, like, wirehouse.
Yeah. So there's a lot of I've seen a lot of challenges with multi-advisor practices, and we started working with a client recently who just got divorced from other advisors, and that was painful.
Yeah,
and that I think that's, I don't know if I would say an inevitability with an advisor, multi-advisor practice, but I think it probably is. I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but I think most of those multi-advisor practices end up splitting, and that splitting cannot be a fun process. No way.
All right. Well, speaking of splitting, I think at this point you have taken 16 minutes to beat the living heck out of everybody on the podcast. Let's start talking about some solutions. What works, man, and why don't those things work? Let's break down these other things of this business model. The business model that we have found at Top Advisor Marketing is the one that works for elite advisors.
The most successful, cohesive, collective, synergistic businesses that I see are highly specialized ensembles. And I have a lot of wonderful benefits that come out of those relationships and those business models that I see. And they really get me excited about, my opinion, what this business should be. Because so a highly specialized ensemble means that everybody is working toward the exact same common goal. They have the same philosophies, or a collective philosophy that they may develop together, not just one person saying, hey, this is what we're going to believe. And they all work in, they're all aligned. So everybody has a role to play on the team that makes the client experience hard to match. So, and those ensembles are not necessarily just working with ultra high net worth or high net worth clients. They are ensembles that have a highly focused experience and way to do business. And the more focused they are, the more aligned everybody is. And then I'm going to go into the why. Why is a highly specialized ensemble the most successful business model for elite advisors?
Sounds good.
I say elite advisors because I think everybody should be aiming to be an elite advisor. And I think the way with all the trends happening in this business, that is where everybody should be leaning to go, because there are robots, artificial intelligence, machine learning that are going to do half of what you do in this business better than what a human's ever been able to do. And it's coming. And I'm part of some of that technology, I'm part of a company that's part of using that technology, bringing that technology to the marketplace. It's unreal what's coming down the pipeline. And that is just the momentum is going to keep building there. So you have to think about where you add value and be so good at it that there's no question about your value to the audience you're working with. And you have to remember there's going to be a lot of advisors figuring this stuff over time. You want to figure it out sooner than later, of course, but you're going to have competition with value. So you have to be able to create more value. And there's a lot of interesting things coming. I'm working on an article, and I think we should do a podcast on it in the near future about how the big trends that are happening in financial services or wealth management impact how you market and set up your business for success. And that doesn't just mean by getting better technology. I'm going to talk about the marketing implications of that because I think they're huge.
Fantastic. All right, let's keep going. Dive into the. We'll make sure that we make a note of that on the. But why does this work? Why have you seen this elite advisor, this highly specialized ensemble? What about it is it?
I think the most important thing that having a highly specialized ensemble does is that it allows you to focus on creating a competitive advantage, because you're so focused on your audience and you're so focused on exactly what you do for that audience that you can create so much more value than all those other business models I told you don't work, because their focus is too broad and it's hard to create value. Most advisors that I talk to, when they think about all the content that they would need to create, as an example, because content is one of the best ways to create value. And if you have your audience is too diverse, what content do you focus on? And how is that content going to resonate with them? Because with everybody in your audience, it's very difficult to achieve that. So typically advisors, you know, buy content from a library, and then all they do is reinforce with the fact that they do everything for everybody, and they're not really much different than any other advisor, because you're all buying content and expertise from the same place, sharing it. But if you have a very specific audience with this very specific skill set, and you have a lot of really intelligent people aligned in that ensemble, right? So an ensemble is where you have, just to make sure, I'm pretty sure everybody knows what it is because it's a highly talked about business model, but you know, having people who are experts and play a specific role in the client engagement, onboarding, and wealth management or wealth planning experience. And people have come in and do their specialty as part of the process. Some people oversee the entire process. Some people come in and do their thing. Some people are just researchers. Some people are managing the money. Some people are managing the office. Some people are managing the people. But they're all working together. They're all sharing revenue and or profits. And they all are sticking to working with a certain kind of client, doing creating a specific kind of experience. And when you do that, you can create so much more value. And when you can create that much value, how will anybody else ever compete with you? Very difficult for other people to compete with you when you're that focused. And we've all seen businesses like that are so focused. It's like, I don't even want to begin to try to compete with those guys.
Yep.
They're so amazing. And you can be that if you set your business up as a highly specialized ensemble.
So how many people do you think are going to make changes? How many people do you think that this is going to wake up, and what sort of objections have you heard when you bring this stuff up?
I mean, people don't hire us to talk about business models. So I have opinions on it, but when I have an opinion on a business model, it usually means that person's not ready to hire us to do a brand. So it's usually, I don't think we're a good fit. And then I give them some thoughts on, you know, the shifts and the mindset shifts that they need to make and the business model shifts that they probably going to need to make for them to be successful before they start developing a brand. I know that sounds weird to turn away people. Sometimes it's not explicitly turning them away. I don't say, you know, because sometimes people don't like to hear that, but I can position a sales call, if you will, in a way that I know they're going to get that we're not right for them because they're not ready for us without it, you know, feeling like I'm saying no.
Well, but we do.
Sometimes we do say no.
But. Well, right. We have our own niche, right? I mean, here's the deal, everybody. Yeah. We're following this model too. We are elite financial services branding and marketing experts. That's what we do. We are highly specialized. We are absolutely an ensemble. And this is what we do. And if you do come to us and after our discovery process or through our sales process, we realize that, you know, there's some things that you might want to reconsider. We have an amazing network of people. And of course, you know, Joe Lucas comes to mind immediately because he can help you with your business plan and really the long-term focus of your business to make sure that you're moving in the direction that you want to go. But when you're talking about a brand and when you're talking about how to position yourself within the marketplace, Kirk, everything that you're talking about today is going to reinforce that specialty. And I just had a sales call. I have to tell you about this. I just had a sales call with an old client of mine long, 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 long time ago at my old consulting company. One of my favorite guys, super, super great guy, very successful. All he does is work with this specific niche within the nursing community. In fact, it goes to the point of his on hold and answering machine specifically just talks about this niche. He's built out this niche so much that he speaks every year, Kirk, at the national convention for this nursing association. He is the guy. He built it. Now, it took him a while to get there, but every site that he has, his site, his on-hold music, his answering machine, how the people answer the phone, everything has that brand depth that you and I have been talking about, you know, since, well, I mean, this is our 68th episode, so for 68 episodes.
Yeah. I have two types of, I'm going to break down two types of advisors that call us. I do have some more reasons why you want to go with the specialized model. We'll get to those in a second.
Okay.
But there's two types, I'm just having fun with this, but let's just say there's two types of advisors that come to us looking for help. The ones who know exactly who their audience is, highly specialized. They don't come to us and say, I need more leads. What they come to us and say is, I need to inspire more of these people to be talking about us. I need to make my marketing better so that I go a little deeper into this network. I already know all the people. I just want to make sure they're talking about me all the time. I want to add more value to the relationships that I have. I want to make it so that it's impossible for people in this niche in my network not to know about me, not to be talking about me, and things like that. And that is a much different place to be in as a financial advisor and or as an owner of a business, a financial firm. Then I work with a lot of different types of people. I think I want to, I need more leads. I'm not attracting enough people. And, you know, sometimes I get referrals from people, sometimes I don't, but a lot of times I feel like I'm left wanting a lot more referrals from people that I think I deserve them from. And a big part of that problem is just a lack of focus in your practice. And people don't like referring if they don't think they're referring the right people and or you're going to do the right job or they're going to see the same things that you see. And maybe they don't see as much good as you think they see. And there's not enough reason for them to leave yet, but they're definitely going to bring somebody else in who's going to eventually be at a barbecue with them and saying, you know, they're okay, but they're not great. And it's like, yeah, I kind of feel like that too. Well, what the heck? Why did you refer them to me 2 years ago? You know, I left somebody else who was really, you know, about the same. I could have saved myself a lot of time.
Yeah.
So, anyway, here's some other reasons why having an ensemble make a huge difference and more benefits.
Okay.
Is that when you have an ensemble, you can be more efficient with your marketing because you're only just telling one story all the time. You're not trying to please 3 or 4 or 10 different audiences with your marketing. So you can be way more efficient with your marketing. And when you're creating a ton of value, it's less about going out and trying to find cold relationships and try to find out warm. Your value will dictate and create a lot more referrals and talk about you, and you'll be able to create more content and value, which will mean more people will be experiencing your stuff and inspired to share. So you'll do a lot better from a marketing perspective, a brand awareness perspective, when you have a highly focused business that creates a lot of value. Another thing is you'll spend a lot more time attracting, you'll be way more successful, I guess, at attracting ideal opportunities than just anybody. So you won't have screening calls and you won't, you know, start talking to people and saying, oh my goodness, you know, you guys, you know, you're not right for me. You figure that out 10 minutes into the call, but you're too nice to stop it because, you know, they know somebody that you know, blah, blah, blah. So you carry on for an hour and then they send you a couple of emails and, you know, you're just too gracious, or you don't want to sound, you know, want to be off-putting. So, you know, when you attract ideal clients, there's a lot of benefits. Saves you time, gets you in front of the right people, makes you more energized at work, things like that.
Hey, Kirk, I have a quick question for you before we go on to the next one. You know, doctors don't have this problem. Right. So if you're going to go to a dermatologist, you don't show up at a dermatologist office and expecting a colonoscopy. Right. Because the dermatologist is put out as a dermatologist. Why do you think advisors have such a hard time with putting themselves out as that specialist? Just in general. I mean, you've been doing this for a long time, and both of us have talked at great length with our clients about becoming specialists. What do you think the aversion is?
You always have to give these crazy examples. Well, I was going to say crazy ass examples, but that might be too rough right now.
That's all right, man. It's a Friday. Go ahead.
Yeah. We like doing these on Fridays. More upbeat for some reason on Fridays.
That's because the day is almost over and the weekend's about to begin. Of course, both of us are just terribly busy with things like colonoscopy. So let's dive in. Tell me about that.
Speak for yourself there, buddy. I'm 48, so I'm probably due for
something.
Yeah,
you are. Yeah, it's a totally different subject. But really, so I don't ask my dermatologist specific questions. I would ask somebody else those specific questions. What is the aversion?
I think for advisors, they're terrified of going backwards, stepping backwards in their practices. I mean, if you started out when you were younger and when you first got into the business, you said, I'm only working with so-and-so, you know that you don't know everything. So you want to experiment, right? And you're trying to get experience. So I'll take on all kinds of situations and I'll I'll grow my knowledge base. And that actually makes sense, more sense. Not more sense, but it makes enough sense to pursue that as you're starting out in the business. And for a lot of people, even though the idea of niche marketing, or as you call it, niche marketing, it is that, you know, not everybody believes in it, or they don't want to say no to people, or there's so many reasons that impact this. But if you think about creating, you know, working with an audience and not worry about stepping backwards, and I think that's the biggest problem. You know, when I talk to advisors all the time, if you do an ABC thing with a practice, there's going to be, what, 10 to 20%? I think if we follow the 80-20 rule, 20% of the clients are A's.
Yeah.
And they're driving 80% of the revenue. And if you said get rid of the other 80%, yeah, most advisors freak out when you say, wait a second, because, you know, last week I got this really great case. I didn't have to do much work. And if you actually started thinking about how much work they had to do, they may change their mind. Mm-hmm. But the truth is going backwards always feels weird. But man, if you had 100 clients and you could fire 80 of them and still make – and only have lost 20% of your revenue, and then you can try to focus on doubling those other, it give you a much better chance to double the other 20.
That's right.
It's what most advisors should do. Now, there may be somebody else who says, you know what, I love those 80 that you don't want to work with, and you work out some kind of deal, maybe even make enough money to pay for your next year's worth of,
sure,
you know, loss in revenue. So there's opportunities there, you know, to make that stuff work. The problem is they figure, hey, now my risk is way bigger because now I only get 20 clients. If five leave, you know, that's a much bigger hit. But you can't be worried about it. You got to take the risks and go for it and create value. If those 20 are super aligned, specialized, if you will, focus group, and you can create more value and spend all your time creating value for them. So if you save half of your time during a week now, you got all kinds of time to create value. You can call up Matt. You can do a podcast. You can talk to Jessica on our team, and she'll be overseeing your social media. And all of a sudden, you know, we can you know, help with the brand. You can go do all kinds of interesting things. Of course, it's always going to be about working with us, but there's all kinds of things you can do in your business. You can spend a little bit more time doing stuff in the community, or spend time with your family, get re-energized, come back in. You can go do more networking stuff. I mean, for one of our clients, networking is going off and doing climbing a ski hill 27 times in, what was it, October, to climb the equivalent of Mount Everest, and meeting all kinds of ideal prospects up there because he wants to work with endurance athletes who at these type of events often are millionaires. And so there's, you know, some pretty interesting things you can do when you decide who you're going to focus on.
And we talk about the three mores: more free time, more profit, more fun. I think there's two points here, and then we should wrap up today's podcast. Number one, niche or niche marketing is like gravity. It's true regardless if you believe it or not. So it doesn't matter if you believe in niche marketing, because it's there. It works. We know it works. We've been doing this for a really long time. And don't feel guilty. In fact, praise yourself for not having to work so much. That 80-20 rule, Kirk, I just did this with a client yesterday. I had him break it down, and we figured out that he could go and have 35 clients and make, and it was actually 83% of his revenue. Now, yes, he's taking a 17%, you know, step back. I'm sorry. Yeah, 17% step back in his overall revenue. But all of his time is spent with the bottom part of his book. And you are so right. That does free up time for him to do stuff with his family. That does make him way more profitable, because he does have an opportunity to turn around and start focusing on showing enough love to those big clients, those clients that he loves. Right? Because they weren't all big clients. They were just people that he really loved too. And so he can replicate those clients. So many advisors just think that they have to stay busy all the time. And, oh man, I can't take Friday off because, you know, whatever. What are you working for? Part of working with Top Advisor Marketing is we want you to reassess what you're working for. Are you working for just making more money and getting on the hedonic treadmill and run and run and run and run until you fall down and die? Or do you want to get off that treadmill, create something of your own, something that's totally unique and different, that's going to be easier to sell, not just later down the road, but easier for you to sell yourself today and sell in the future because you're totally niched out. Your practice will be valued more. You have more time to do things that are energy giving, and you have the opportunity to run a more efficient practice. It all starts with this focus. And yes, for everything you want in life, you have to take a step back to make a big leap forward. That's how life works. If you're not willing to pause, take a breath, then you're never going to be able to take that big leap. And what Kirk has talked about today with what you need to do with this elite model, this is the model on how to truly take your practice to the next level. You just take this podcast, listen to it a couple of times, make some notes, give us a call. We can help you figure out what that niche is, and really how you can take your practice to be an elite advisor. What do you got, Kirk? What are your final thoughts?
That's beautiful. I love that that analogy with gravity. Yeah. Even though you think it doesn't exist or you want to try to ignore it, you know, it's there.
Yeah.
And we see it all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's time to, you know, there'll be a right time for you to say, you know, I had enough of the way the status quo, let's go for it. And everybody else has got to figure out, you know, how to keep going until they hit bottom or whatever you want to call it, till they have that moment where they're so frustrated to say, okay, I'm going to change.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to change my mindset. And you're all welcome to do it on your timelines. If you need help from us, listen to our podcast, because we'll beat you up every week. And anyway, thanks for listening, by the way. I don't know, we don't get a chance to personally thank everybody for downloading and listening to our podcast, but we are extremely grateful. It's a lot of fun. I haven't been on as much of them lately because Matt, we find that the one-on-one is so much more engaging for our audience. And so I just butt out and come in from time to time and do my thing with Matt. But Matt's been incredible, and we're going to keep rolling at this and having a lot of fun with this podcast. And hopefully you as advisors start recognizing that this is something that you could easily pull off and create these same kind of experiences. Mm-hmm. And top of mind awareness and share wisdom and all that kind of stuff with your audiences as we're doing here with you. So I have nothing else, man. That was fun talking about that. Something I wanted to get out of my head and into the world about all these business models we've experienced over the years. So thanks, everybody.
Wonderful. And we do want to thank you for everybody here at Top Advisor Marketing. We've just gone over 30,000 downloads on the podcast. We're at episode number 68. We are really, really, really rolling. We want you all to understand that we're not going to bring something to you that we're not personally doing ourselves. So whether it comes to what Kirk was talking about today about being an elite advisor, our goal is to be the elite marketing, branding, and communications firm for the financial services industry. So we practice what we preach. And if you want to stop being the best kept secret in your area, podcasting is an incredibly efficient way to make sure that you can get your thought leadership out. Why not do it? It's inexpensive. It's very effective. It's fun. And the best part about it is one of the reasons why we have so many guests on our podcast is because we want you to think about the same thing. I just recently interviewed Duncan McPherson. The podcast just went out. Duncan has got a network that's probably four or five times the size of Kirk's and ours. And because we had him on the podcast, now he is a center of influence for us. He shared that podcast, and our podcast subscriptions went up exponentially. You can do the same thing within your practice. Get that CPA, get that estate advisor, get that divorce attorney, get that real estate agent as a guest on your podcast. They will share the podcast with other people. Now your podcast and your thought leadership gets lots of legs. It can be fun. And you enjoy it. You talk for a living, everybody. Why not make it worth your time? So for everybody at Top Advisor Marketing, including Kirk Lowe, this is Matt Haller. And if you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, make sure you subscribe by clicking the subscribe now link below. That every time we come out with a new podcast, have a new guest, or Kirk has another great idea, it'll show up directly on your listening device. Thank you very much. And we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.